Thank you. Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity
To testify on the ongoing work of the advertising industry's self-regulatory system, particularly as it applies to weight loss advertising. This system was created in 1971 by the nation's leading advertising trade associations in cooperation with the Council of Better Business Bureaus. Since that time, we have pioneered a rigorous form of self-regulation that is impartial. It is administered by the Council of Better Business Bureaus. It is comprehensive. It applies to all national advertisers in all media. It's transparent. All of our decisions are publicly reported, and it's effective. Companies that do not participate in the process or don't follow the recommendations are publicly referred to the appropriate government agency, usually the Federal Trade Commission. We work on a case-by-case basis, actively monitoring national advertising for questionable claims and practices, and we apply FTC-type standards to those claims. Each year, we issue almost 200 decisions on a wide variety of advertising issues, including about a dozen last year that addressed advertising of weight loss claims and required the companies to stop or modify the ads in question. Self-regulatory claims for weight loss products include issues ranging from technical, easy-to-remedy disclosure questions to questions about the validity of complex underlying studies that support the advertiser's claim. For example, one recent NAD decision addressed advertisements for a product called Garcinia Cambogia, including claims that had been clinically proven to promote four times more weight loss than diet and exercise. Some of the claims were contained in a special report on how to lose 28 pounds in 1 month with two healing cleanses recommended by Dr. Oz. Other claims cited results of specific studies as support for the weight loss claims. In this case, the advertiser told us that that special report that I referred to earlier was posted by an unauthorized third party, and the advertiser immediately took steps to take the report off the internet. The NAD determined that the remaining specific product performance claims and ingredients claims should be discontinued in their current form. The advertiser fully cooperated with the review and agreed to discontinue the claims, as do about 90% of the companies that participate in the process. We had a very similar case with one of the other ingredients that's popular in this area, raspberry ketone. Our casework complements that of the Better Business Bureau system in protecting consumers. BBBs handle hundreds of advertising review cases locally, including claims associated with weight loss products and services. BBBs also work to resolve complaints about business practices and are uniquely positioned to identify local and national scams as they emerge and warn consumers about them. We are a major outlet for the educational material that the FTC described because we have over 100 Better Business Bureaus located around the country. Last year, Better Business Bureaus handled thousands of complaints about weight loss products and services, including a growing number of complaints about weight loss clinics. BBBs often find that unsubstantiated weight loss claims are also associated with problematic billing practices and auto ship programs, underscoring the adage that misleading weight loss claims frequently lighten only the consumer's wallet. These overall results are consistent with those observed by our St. Louis BBB that serves eastern Missouri and southern Illinois, except that the St. Louis BBB has not seen the rise in the number of weight loss clinic ads in that particular jurisdiction. Self-regulation works only if it has the support of the industry and the government. In the area of weight loss, two associations in particular, the Electronic Retailing Association and the Council for Responsible Nutrition, have stepped forward to provide the types of no-strings-attached funding that allows us to do our impartial monitoring and decision-making work. Similarly, although there is no formal relationship between the advertising self-regulation process and the government, decades of support by the Federal Trade Commission have been absolutely critical in the success of the process. So, although there have been significant efforts by the federal and state government to control unsubstantiated and exaggerated claims, more can be done, obviously. One of the things that I think everybody agrees on is the type of state and federal enforcement actions that the FTC has been bringing are critical to controlling this type of advertising. In addition, trade associations whose members include representatives of weight loss industries need to follow the example set by the Electronic Retailing Association and the Council for Responsible Nutrition and step up and support increased self-regulatory monitoring of the marketplace. It's good for businesses, it's good for consumers. Finally, the FTC's renewed effort to enlist consistent support of the media in guarding against the most egregious types of weight loss claims is a key step. Network broadcasters, for example, have fairly sophisticated processes for network ads. And similarly, in the new media, Google has recently introduced a new approach to ad screening that's tailored to that specific new media. But there are lots of other media outlets, independent channels, cable television, cable satellite radio, and radio that are not doing as much. And finally, I guess I just close with an anecdote. Just this weekend, I got a spam email. It was for a product called Fortscholin. It said if I took the product, I would never have to diet again. When I went on the internet with and used Google Earth, the return address was for a post office box. So it was sort of a regulatory trifecta. It was a spam email for a red flag claim that no one can substantiate with a seller that nobody could find. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr.
Good morning. My name is Steve Mister, and I'm the president and CEO of the Council for Responsible Nutrition. CRN is the leading trade association representing the manufacturers and marketers of dietary supplements, functional foods, and their nutritional ingredients. We empathize with the many Americans who are vulnerable to false promises for losing weight fast, with everything from rubber pants and bracelets to sprays and creams and exercise gadgets and, yes, dietary supplements. Collectively, Americans spend over $40 billion a year trying to lose weight. The Nutrition Business Journal reports that dietary supplements and meal replacements formulated for weight loss are a $5.3 billion a year industry, a small fraction of the total, but a significant sum nevertheless. But before the committee throws the baby out with the bathwater, we want to be clear that there are a number of dietary ingredients used in weight loss supplements when combined with moderate exercise programs and sensible eating that have been shown in well-conducted clinical trials to be safe and beneficial for weight management. The Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act requires that all supplements must have substantiation for their claims, and that includes weight loss claims. The FDA's regulations for labeling established a detailed approach for what constitutes that adequate substantiation for these structure function claims, which requires that the claims be supported by well-conducted human trials with statistically significant benefits. And along with the consumers who are duped by these false and misleading claims, the responsible supplement industry who complies with these standards also stands to lose when unscrupulous marketers take advantage with misleading and unsupported ads. And I'm here today to reinforce the commitment of CRN's members to help address these scams and frauds in the weight loss marketplace. But unfortunately, the reality of the current weight loss market is that it is a tale of two industries: legitimate manufacturers who responsibly produce products that work and make claims for the products that are within the bounds of the law, and then, on the other hand, the unscrupulous players who prey on consumer desperation and their insatiable desire to be thin and will say almost anything to make a quick profit. The Federal Trade Commission has the authority to enforce the prohibition on false, misleading, and deceptive claims made in the advertising of weight loss products, as you've heard today. And CRN has publicly supported and will continue to applaud the numerous enforcement actions brought by the FTC in recent years and the more than $438 million in restitution and civil penalties assessed by the Commission against deceptive advertising with respect to weight loss products since 2004. Enforcement sweeps like the FTC's Operation Waistline and more recently failed resolution and its media awareness campaigns like Gut Check help to remove misleading claims, but they also alert the public while sending a message of deterrence through the industry. And we applaud them for that. However, the reality is that in this internet age, along with the proliferation of cable television, talk radio, various online media, and the increasing pressures for ad revenue among shrinking print media, both the FTC and the FDA have insufficient resources to combat the number of deceptive claims in the market. Some media outlets eager to accept advertising dollars will turn a blind eye to advertising copy that clearly violates the law and deceives consumers. So in 2006, CRN began an industry-wide self-regulatory program with the NAD, as you've heard, to help self-police the advertising claims of dietary supplement marketers. CRN has committed over $2 million to underwrite this program, which has already investigated almost 200 challenges of the claims made by supplement marketers, many of which involve these weight loss products. I am proud of the track record of this program for providing fair, thoughtful, and transparent decisions, for achieving a high rate of industry participation, and for the precedents that it sets with these decisions to deter others in the industry from making similarly fraudulent claims. CRN's members are committed to manufacturing and marketing high-quality, safe, beneficial products and to ensure that our consumers receive truthful, accurate, non-misleading information on supplements and nutritional products. We believe the challenge for legitimate weight loss products is essentially this. American consumers unrealistically yearn for a magic bullet, and unscrupulous marketers will take advantage of these desires with hollow promises. Like a successful weight loss program, though, the solutions to this are not easy. Significant first steps should include increasing resources and priorities for enforcement of the existing legal requirements by both the FTC and the FDA, expanding and strengthening self-policing programs among manufacturers and marketers in the industry, like our initiative with the NAD, calling on media outlets and online retailers to conduct their own advertising clearance before accepting ads with claims that are illegal and simply too good to be true, and finally, educating consumers to be realistic about their weight loss strategies and their expectations to make them less vulnerable to outrageous and unsupported claims. Thank you for the opportunity to share our views with the committee.
Chairman McCaskill, Ranking Member Heller, and distinguished members of the subcommittee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today about TrustInAd.org's member company's efforts to combat fraudulent online advertising for weight loss products. My name is Rob Harrelson, and I am the organization's executive director. In my testimony, I will highlight how our member companies are incentivized to keep bad ads out of our systems. I will also note how they are investing significant resources in this area and have already removed millions of bad ads from their services. TrustInAds.org includes internet industry leaders AOL, Facebook, Google, Twitter, and Yahoo. We founded this organization to work together towards a common goal: protect people from malicious online ads and deceptive practices. With this effort, we are bringing awareness to consumers about online ad-related scams, working collaboratively to identify both trends in deceptive ads and best practices, and sharing our knowledge with policymakers and consumer advocates around the country. TrustInAds.org offers guidance to consumers on how to avoid scams through the regular release of what we call our bad ads trend alerts. These are consumer-friendly and easily digestible reports that examine a specific trend or trends we are seeing and provide specific examples of bad ads and websites that the companies have removed from their platforms. We highlight the steps that the companies have taken to combat the problem and give consumers useful tips on how to make good choices online. Our website also includes a dedicated page where people can go to learn how to easily report a suspicious ad on any of our member companies' websites. Our first report, released in May, detailed ads for phony tech support services. And yesterday, we released our newest report on fraudulent ads related to weight loss products and dietary supplements. Our member companies have allocated significant resources to keep bad ads off their platforms. Without question, ensuring a positive user experience for all users is essential to maintaining a vibrant internet ecosystem. Today, the sale of numerous weight loss products and dietary supplements through advertising is seen across all mediums: print, broadcast, radio, and the web. And while most entities selling these kinds of products provide accurate and truthful information regarding the overall effectiveness, some bad actors, in an attempt to entice consumers, market products with outrageous claims and promises of dramatic weight loss. For the bad actors attempting to use online advertising, these kinds of claims violate both our member companies' advertising policies and existing laws aimed at protecting consumers. We applaud federal agencies for recognizing the weight loss scam problem and their active efforts to educate consumers about misleading claims. In addition to its active law enforcement against scammers, the FTC's consumer information website has an entire section devoted to weight loss and fitness that outlines many of the advertisements that users could encounter on the internet and other places and debunks their claims. Stopping these ads is critical for online advertising companies as well. Collectively, our member companies have hundreds of individuals on their respective teams spanning policy, engineering, network security, and legal that are dedicated to identifying and preventing this illegal activity. Fortunately, most of these types of ads never reach the user and are immediately rejected through automated filtering processes as soon as they are submitted. For those that are detected after they are published, they are immediately removed and the advertiser account is reviewed. Temporary or permanent suspension of the advertiser account is then considered, depending on the severity of the ad's policy violations. User feedback also plays an important role in detecting bad ads, and our companies carefully review user complaints related to ads and quickly take action when warranted. Over the course of the past 18 months, AOL, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Yahoo have collectively removed or rejected over 2.5 million ads related to weight loss and dietary supplements due to numerous ads policy violations. While all stakeholders are working hard to stop these ads, weight loss scammers, some who are incredibly sophisticated, work maliciously to find ways to avoid detection by agencies, falling within their guidelines, and circumvent our company's automated filters. Working together, AOL, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, and Yahoo are fully committed to improving their systems to help protect users across the web. We believe that if we all work together to identify threats and stamp them out, we can make the web a safer place for everyone. Again, thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Harrelson. Dr. Fabricant.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity to discuss and participate in this panel discussion. I am Dr. Daniel Fabricant, CEO and Executive Director of the Natural Products Association, the oldest and largest trade association in the natural products industry. We represent thousands of retailers, manufacturers, suppliers, and distributors of health foods, dietary supplements, natural personal care, and the millions of Americans who use supplements each year. While some of our members are household names, most are small business owners, many women-owned, who got in this business because they want to help people live truly healthier lives. Our first rule to customers is always consult with your healthcare provider, and that dietary supplements are part of a broader, healthier lifestyle that includes diet and exercise. Madam Chair, our members fully support efforts to combat fraud and to rules and regulations the federal government has to protect consumers. Deceptive advertising is illegal and should not be tolerated, period. Like you, we are especially concerned about fraud on the internet. Our association was founded by brick-and-mortar independent retailers, not internet-only or fly-by-night firms. Our members know that public trust with their customers is one of the main reasons that natural products are in such high demand. No one has more of an interest in weeding out fraud than our members, because bad actors only tarnish their good integrity. To support FTC, NPA has its own industry policing program where members report questionable ad claims so bad actors can be disciplined. Our members are empowered to follow the Homeland Security rule as it relates to questionable ad claims. If you see something, say something. Under our Truth in Advertising program, questionable ad claims are reviewed by a committee of industry attorneys to determine if they're over the line, and then we take two actions. The first is to mail a cease and desist letter to a company. I've attached an example of that in my testimony. The second is to refer cases to FTC and FDA where potentially fraudulent advertising or disease claims exist. Since this program began in 2010, it's resulted in 446 letters to such firms. Of those, 320 acknowledged the issues and made corrections. The remainder were submitted to FDA and FTC over that period of time. So we do have a strong partnership with the regulatory agencies, but we do depend on federal authorities to provide enforcement action to make all of this a reality. And here, while we see positive action, we also see some areas for consideration and some areas of concern. We've heard about existing enforcement authorities, but some are finally being used for the first time. My former job was as director of dietary supplement programs at FDA, where we used existing tools like mandatory recall, administrative detention, injunctions, and seizures for firms, recidivist firms failing to meet minimal quality standards and making disease claims. FTC has likewise taken substantial actions against firms that have deceived consumers with regards to weight loss. NPA fully supports those efforts as they demonstrate FTC's ample and adequate current authorities. But we're still wrestling with the internet advertising today and the fly-by-night issues. So where are we there with those? We believe FTC should consider using existing authorities more on the front end to be more agile and disciplinary to companies without regard to their revenues. More aggressive enforcement of the so-called fly-by-nights needs to be just as important to the FTC as large-scale enforcement against larger revenue firms. FTC, in conjunction with Department of Justice and other agencies, can currently use misdemeanor prosecutions, assess civil money penalties for those already under consent orders, or those who have violated other laws. However, we don't see as much use of these tools. Also, it appears it's a predilection by regulators to pursue more sizable and protracted cases, perhaps at the expense of more regulatory muscle on the front end against companies of any size or revenue stream. If FTC doesn't act and take down fly-by-nights on the front end early in the game, more will be tempted to get into the game. Lastly, while we support the FTC's mission, we're concerned with the recent development related to FTC consent orders. Obviously, consent orders are case-specific and not meant to be applied industry-wide. However, we are seeing some evidence of this, which could have negative outcomes for consumers from both a cost perspective, but also potentially reducing the quality and quantity of information about the products available to them. When application of extra statutory interpretations moves from consent orders into rules of general applicability, it's not beneficial to anyone, and particularly to consumers. One example would be FTC's new requirement, apparent new requirement, that additional studies and research are necessary prior to advertising, like a requirement to conduct 2 double-blind randomized controlled studies to support lawful structure function statements, which is not a current legal or statutory requirement. This is not only outside of the statute, but leads to unnecessary and inefficient use of resources, which can chill innovation and disincentivizes the very research needed to substantiate claims. This is also happening without any cost benefit on behalf of consumers or the economy. If such standards are applied generally, a firm investing in the currently required study that is well-controlled and meets both the competent and reliable scientific standard would be prohibited from sharing that information from consumers. This actually results in less information being available to consumers, not more, and effectively changes the rules in the middle of the game. This is a critical concern to our members, as it appears to abridge protected speech, which could constitute a violation of the APA or present possible First Amendment issues. We'd like to work with FTC and others to address these concerns and to help improve the enforcement regime and ultimately protect consumers while giving them the widest access to the information that they need. Madam Chair, thank you for holding this hearing.
Great, thank you. We'll have questions, and we have votes that begin in a little less than an hour, so hopefully we'll have an opportunity, everyone who is here, to have at least 2 rounds of questions. I can't figure this out, Dr. Oz. I get that you do a lot of good on your show. I understand that you give a lot of information that's great information about health, and you do it in a way that's easily understandable. You're very talented. You're obviously very bright. You've been trained in science-based medicine. Now, here's 3 statements you made on your show. You may think magic is make-believe, but this little bean has scientists saying they found the magic weight loss cure for every body type. It's green coffee extract. Quote, I've got the number one miracle in a bottle to burn your fat. It's raspberry ketone. Quote, Garcinia cambogia, it may be the simple solution you've been looking for to bust your body fat for good. I don't get why you need to say this stuff, because you know it's not true. So why, when you have this amazing megaphone and this amazing ability to communicate, why would you cheapen your show by saying things like that?